Father, we do thank you that your Spirit is available to us, that we may by faith appropriate your Holy Spirit to live and dwell inside us, to guide us, and to accomplish your purpose in our lives. We thank you this morning, Father, for this worship service, and that in these services you have ordained that we should give attendance to the Word of God when we gather together. We thank you for the time of praise that we have had. We thank you for the hand of the Lord that we've seen upon the congregation and the experience that we have already had of your mighty presence here. We thank you, our Father, that where the presence of the Spirit of God is, there is liberty and joy unspeakable. We are grateful for the privilege to preach your word today. And I ask you specifically, Father, that the anointing that you have deposited within me to declare the truth of your word should rise large today and should employ the capacity that you have given to me to share your heart and your mind. I need it so much this morning. We thank you for it, and I thank you for a people who eagerly desire to drink at your fountain and to eat at your table. And I thank you sincerely, Father, for a people who hunger and thirst after righteousness and sincerely desire the pure, unadulterated milk of your word that they may grow hereby. And I know, Father, that you'll not disappoint them, that you will flow today fountains and rivers of living water, and that you will bring forth, dear Father, the bread of life whereby we might be nourished and fed and satisfied to the full. I thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to use me in this way, and I know that without you I can do nothing, but through you I can do all things because you strengthen me. We desire so much this morning, Father, not to hear from man, but we want to hear from God. We want to hear from the Spirit of the Lord. And I marvel, I stand amazed that you choose to do your work the way you do, but yet it is your way, and you have chosen it. And I just feel so blessed this morning to be in the midst of it. I know, Father, that this word is holy. I know that it's pure. I know that it's wonderful, and it has the capacity to give life and to give it abundantly to anyone who will listen to it and who will believe it and who will appropriate it and who will act upon it. And I thank you, Father, that you will use a very ordinary man today, that you'll use a very ordinary instrument today to bring forth this mighty and amazing and powerful living word. Move not by our might or by our power, but by thy Spirit today, Father, and impart to your people by your Spirit the revelation that you've shared with my heart. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you preach the word over a number of years, as I have, you observe the prospering of the Spirit of God in your life, and you begin to be aware that the Lord has really gifted you in a way that is beneficial. And in standing back and looking at it, at times it is quite beautiful. But then there are those occasions when you just are not adequate, where the Lord opens up your heart and just places something therein that you have no confidence that you're going to be able to put in words that men's minds will understand, because your own mind does not understand it. And my prayer today, my sincere prayer today, is that as I share this scripture and just give you what I can, that the Lord will show you by His Spirit in the same powerful way. I didn't know how to explain it to you. And it's not that it's all that new. It's just so wonderful. that I cannot contain it. I'm sure they teach them at seminary how to do this without crying. And I guess maybe there's a certain dignity to being able to speak wonderfully eternal truths without you know, this kind of a display. I'm not embarrassed anymore by it. I don't want you to understand me, but yet there are times when I think, oh Lord, if I just was more eloquent. Lord, if you'd just give me the words and the capacity that I could speak his heart. You know, I read through the Gospels and I read how Jesus, in a very few words, he touched people's hearts in a powerful way, and how in just a few words he could minister the mind of God and the heart of God. And, you know, when you look, we were just thinking on this yesterday and reading from the book of Job, in the last chapter of Job's book, and he said, after God had spoken to him, you'll remember, out of the whirlwind, and said to him, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, and so on and so forth. And Job, when the Lord had had his say and Job was able to speak, he said to him, I've heard about you, but now I have seen you, and I abhor myself, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And Job, when he had a visitation from the Lord, it so overwhelmed him with his own insignificance that he said, I abhor myself. In other words, I hate myself. I don't hate myself this morning, but I sure do sense the might and the glory and the power of God. And the thing that I want more than anything else today is I want you to know him in that way. I want you to experience him in that way. I want you to know the Lord in such a deeply personal, intense way. I want him to be able to touch you at the center of your being, way down deep in the midst of your spirit. I want you to experience him, and I want you to know him in his reality. And I just feel the inadequacy of the English language and the human means of communication to be able to get that across to you today. Last Sunday morning, we talked from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, about standing and about withstanding in the day of the evil one, when the enemy should launch his most aggressive attacks against us. And I took you to the 46th Psalm as we were discussing that subject last Sunday morning. And we talked from the 46th Psalm about what standing really meant. And that standing means refusing to be moved. To stand means to be unmovable, to be unmovable from the Word of God. And as we were reading down through the 46th Psalm last week, as I was reading it preparing, and as I read it on Sunday, as I was preaching along these other lines, one verse from this Psalm just jumped at me. And all week long, it just keeps coming back to me. And there's a song that is written from this verse that I cannot get out of my spirit this week. It just, when I walked in this morning and we were going to sing in Sunday school, this song wanted to come forth. And it's just been persistent all week. And yesterday especially, as I was seeking the Lord specifically about the morning service today, that verse was so persistent in my heart that I couldn't get it out. And As I began to review it and to go over and think on it and meditate on it, it was this kind of a reaction. It's very simple and it's very straightforward And it's very clear, and I could probably tell you all about it in 5 minutes. All I know about it in 5 minutes. But all the while that I was sitting there just meditating on this, the Spirit of the Lord was just bubbling on the inside of me. Do you know what I'm talking about? God was doing something down in my heart that I did not understand up here. And it was deep and thorough and quite wonderful. Just sensing the presence of the Lord and sensing the importance of this particular verse of Scripture. And if it's important to me, then I believe it'll be important to the church. The verse is the fourth. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river. What river is he talking about here? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. For in John the 7th chapter and the 38th and 39th verses, Jesus said when he was in the temple that day, he had gone down for the celebration, and he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The psalmist said, there is a river. The Holy Spirit is real. He is in the hearts of believers like a mighty rushing river. He said there's a river, not a drip drip. He said there's a river, not a trickle trickle. He said there's a river. It's moving. It's powerful. It's strong. There's a flow. And he said that river puts forth streams. He said there are streams whereof. Those streams I perceive as the offshoots or the tributaries or the flows of the Holy Spirit that come forth. It's springs that flow forth from that river. Smaller manifestations, but yet a flow. Smaller expressions, but yet the same river, the same source, the same power. And the thing that struck me was that the river and the streams whereof flow, that they are in the city of God. We saw several weeks ago what the city of God was. The city of God is named Mount Zion. And we found that Mount Zion was more than a historical place. We found that Mount Zion was us. That you and I, as individual believers and the church collectively, we are Zion, according to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 22nd and the 23rd verses. Zion, the city of God, is us. We sing in the 48th Psalm that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. The city of the great king is you. The city of the great king is me. The city of the great king is each and every one individually and collectively who have the river of God inside them, who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and who have this flowing river of his Spirit deposited on the inside. The Scripture says that this river will make glad the city of God. And I think this is what is really doing me in. Is that the work of the Holy Spirit in me and the work of the Holy Spirit in you is gladness. Mostly we have seen that the work of the Holy Spirit is to keep us convicted Mostly we've been taught that the work of the Holy Spirit is to keep us sensitive to the holiness of God and the wretchedness of man. But that's not the primary work of the Holy Spirit. Certainly it's one where there's a sinner involved. But the river that is in the city of God, when the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, his purpose is to make him glad. And gladness is the normal disposition for the Christian, especially the Spirit-filled one. There is a river. The streams whereof, or the flows from that river within, shall make the person who knows God glad. And the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Another way of saying the person of the believer. That one who knows God. To be glad, according to the dictionary, the Hebrew dictionary, this word from the Hebrew is sameach. And the word literally means to be blithe or gleeful, to be merry-hearted, and to be rejoicing. And I looked up some other references that had this same Hebrew word in it. I found one of them in the 2 Samuel, in the book of 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And I don't know how many of you remember what story is contained there in 2 Samuel chapter 6. But let me refresh your memory by reminding you that it is the story of David going to Obed-Edom's house and getting the Ark of God. And the glorious procession, David in front of the Ark, wearing the ephod and dancing and rejoicing before God as they walked into the city of Jerusalem to bring the presence of God into the city of God. There was great gladness in his heart that day. And he was so blithe, he was so merry-hearted, he was so joyful that the 16th verse says his wife saw him from the window and despised him. He was making a fool of himself in the presence of God. Now, hence the reason why I do not feel intimidated when I become a fool in the presence of God. For I perceive from the scriptures that I'm in pretty good company. David being one. Excuse me. Another reference, and there are many, comes from 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And again, it is David. It's amazing to me how many references there were given to the man David, who was a man after God's own heart, and in how many places he expresses the gladness that was in his life. In the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, David has just made a substantial offering, a substantial gift from his own possessions to the treasury for the construction of the temple. At his example, the other leaders and rulers and princes and so on, of the people, they brought forward their very substantial gifts. Having done so, all of the people following that example, they all brought. There was such joy on that occasion, David could not contain himself. And they sacrificed thousands of sacrificial animals as a worship and praise offering to the Lord. They rejoiced, David prayed, and the scripture says there was great gladness there on that day. Another reference that struck me was from the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and in the 17th verse where God's people had not had the word of God for a long time. And the scribes and the Levites had taught the people, and one of the things that they learned was that towards the latter part of the year, that they were to, in the 10th month, I believe, they were to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. When the people did so, they observed the feast. It's interesting to me, I've been doing a study on gluttony, and I'm going to bring a message on that subject one day soon. I'm not going to tell you when, because I want to have some people to hear it. But as I've been studying that subject and reviewing it, I came into that passage of Scripture. I won't tell you now why exactly, but I came into that passage of Scripture where the people, as they heard the Word of God, they became very depressed because they felt guilty because of what they had not been doing. And Nehemiah said, this is not a day for mourning. This is a day for rejoicing, for the joy of the Lord is your strength in the 10th verse. And he said, so go home and cook a big meal and have a big feast and have lots of people in and have a ball because you're God's people. And they did so, and they observed the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the Scripture says in the 17th verse that as they were obedient to the Word of God, there was great gladness in the city that day. I find another reference that struck me in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the 46th verse, which tells us that the New Testament church went from house to house. People had just been born again, just been filled with the Holy Ghost, just had these rivers deposited within them. And they went from house to house, fellowshipping with one another with great gladness. The psalmist says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God's Spirit in us, beloved, is a mighty river. The flow of that river in us produces a quality of life that is joyous and glad. It makes the believer glad. And I'm moved to say to you this, that the river flows normally. Its normal result is gladness. For you to not experience that flow is for you to purposely shut off the flow of that river, to dam it up and not allow it to flow in your life. For if you simply allow God's river to send forth these mighty streams, it will produce in your life a quality of joy and a quality of gladness that does not have any natural explanation. If you're not experiencing that, then you have shut off the flow. You have purposely or ignorantly, but you have of your own volition, you have stopped it up so that the river's not flowing. Either that, or you've never received His Spirit to flow in you. You've never allowed His Spirit to come and be deposited in you. The song I mentioned earlier goes like this, and I think you'll remember it as I try to sing it to you. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to that river. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. That song has been, how many of you have heard that song? I know it comes from this verse. I didn't know it until I read the verse. But I remember having heard the song, and it just keeps rising up within me. I wonder if you'd like to sing it with me. Would you stand, please? Just sing what you know. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to that river. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Let's sing it again. I may not have the words just right, but this is the way the words are in my heart. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to that river. There is a vast supply.